This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Number for you to call. You can bring up whatever is on your mind, whatever you want to get out to people. It's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
And Lori.
And I wanted to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. What about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That's dash.org. Well, Lori, you brought in a story, that you wanted to talk about today, and it's about people having an addiction. What kind of addiction?
It's a phobia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a new phobia has arisen. It says, this is from Forbes.com. It says, a psychologist describes a new phobia on the rise, nomophobia. Have you ever wondered what your life would be like without a smartphone? Some may envision life of peace without distraction, whereas some may see a life with less convenience and connection. Others, however, may feel terrified of the idea entirely. Psychological research has uncovered a new fear, nomophobia, where individuals become filled with dread, anxiety, and panic at the thought of being without their smartphone. Mm. It's so silly.
I can't really make fun of them, I'm not going to lie. It's ridiculous to get to the point of being a phobia, but it did suck when the FBI stole my phone for like 4 days.
It's because you keep your whole everything in there.
Right.
You know, every phone number you have. And
yeah, it was hard to, like, function. I just sat there one day, and I was like, there was lots of other reasons for me to be sitting in my kitchen, not, like, knowing what to do with my life. But I was just like, oh, I hadn't even told my sister or my parents or anything what happened. And I happened to remember my sister's phone number. So I dialed it on my home phone. I was like, I can't even believe I remember her actual phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just because it was like a couple off from my old one. But so I called her and I was just like, I told her what had happened. And it took like 4 days for that to happen because I wasn't even thinking like, oh, wait, I have a way to contact people.
I've gone without technology a few times. Mm-hmm. Like we lived in the desert in Arizona for a while, just like boondocking in the middle of the desert in a camper and had no phone
Wi-Fi.
Whatsoever. Yeah. No Wi-Fi. Because it was an hour to the closest store from where we were in the desert. Like, there was wild horses and stuff. It was cool.
Oh, my gosh. Pretty.
It was cool. But it was great.
Nice.
It was fantastic. No, nobody's going to call me. Nobody's going to interrupt me. I don't have to worry about, like, oh, I'm bored. I'm just going to scroll mindlessly. I'm just going to do something productive with my time. I'm going to learn something or read something that I've been wanting to read.
And that sounds awesome for a planned thing, you know?
It wasn't, but
oh.
It was. Like, we just decided to pick up one day and travel across the country and just stop wherever we wanted.
But I do kind of understand that where they're coming from for, like, oh, what would I do right now if my phone just suddenly exploded? that would be a kind of a problem. Ian wouldn't know what's going on because he's in jail. Just all these little things, like all of my, I don't know, logging into things. I guess that doesn't really matter. I don't store it on my phone anymore. But it used to be, it would have been really bad because I stored a lot of things on my phone. And yeah, you just get a new phone and then reset it there. I also lost my phone in a mall. I'm pretty sure it was, like, stolen. Like, somebody probably saw it sitting wherever I freaking sat it and then stole it.
Yeah.
And that was really terrible. And it, oh, my God, like, it just made me feel so powerless and angry. But it's, like, also, it was stolen. So anything stolen from you may make you feel that way.
Yeah. But the violation of having something stolen.
Right.
But I think, like, if I lost my phone tomorrow, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'd just go to someone's house if I needed to talk to them.
Yeah, but luckily,
I'll send them a letter.
I've been cutting down so much on social media. They wouldn't as much be for me a social thing. I think that's the more ridiculous reason to be afraid of it. Is just because you're like, oh my God, what are my Twitter followers going to think? Like that's,
yeah, that's
got a problem.
Weird.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I noticed that like without Ian here, I went from like every single thought in my head, I just say it out loud to Ian. To, like, being actually alone. And I started being on Twitter way too much to where I was like, I think it's making me negative. And I turn it off and I feel so much better.
Good.
It's better to just actually go to my friend's house and hang out with her.
Social media is toxic.
Yeah.
I use it for, you know, rabbit sales.
Oh. And I think about what you meant, but you really meant that.
Yeah, rabbit sales and, you know, using Messenger to talk to friends. But other than that, and post memes. Like, I don't do anything on Facebook.
I think Facebook is the worst one for, like, depression and stuff,
And I don't
too.
Have a Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I don't have any of that stuff.
And Instagram is also one of the worst ones, in my opinion. But Twitter's also bad. They're all three really bad.
Like, all of them.
I don't know why I don't get addicted to TikTok. If I can use it sparingly. It's like, no one else can do that. They're like,
I just don't use it.
If you went on to it, no, you can't do that. You're going to get an addiction. But no, that doesn't happen to me.
No.
I don't get lost for hours. I think I get lost more on YouTube, but I have such fun things I watch on YouTube and Odyssey that are actually like things I learn and stuff.
YouTube I like.
Yeah.
But like I don't have an account or anything. I watch stuff on there.
And it's not a social thing even if you have an account.
Right.
So it's much better. I mean, I guess some people...
It can be.
That way
I guess
somehow.
They have like live videos, like live watches where you can interact on there.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't like anything like that. I like to like watch these people, like I was talking about people buying things, people who are like interested in just showing you their clothes when I have like nothing else to do. That's something I do to be entertained. But I don't even like the idea of like talking to them like, oh, I'm gonna comment on her picture. Like,
yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's parasocial and weird.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know you. I have nothing to say to that person.
It's like when they say, like, okay, anyways, good night, all my Snapchat followers. I love you so much. Ian is always, if he hears me watching one of them, then he's always like, oh, yeah, sure. She loves you,
yeah,
Bonnie.
Can I borrow $20?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
That's so funny. But, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous that this has become an actual phobia.
Yeah. To measure the severity of this phobia and its impact on daily life, researchers have developed a test designed to assess and diagnose nomophobia. This tool not only shed light on the prevalence of this modern anxiety, but also prompts a broader discussion about our dependence on technology and its implications for mental well-being. What is nomophobia? Contracting the phrase, no mobile phone phobia.
Oh, okay. I was like, why is it Nomo? That almost sounds like nomenclature, like name or something. I don't know. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I find it silly that they had to come up with a name for this. Are these people really really terrified to the point where it's a phobia? Like, a phobia is something that you cannot handle.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
You'll cry and be a mess on the floor, shaking. Like,
yeah.
If somebody has arachnophobia and you bring a spider in the room, they literally can't function.
Yeah.
So people really are addicted to their devices to the point where if you took their device away, they would be non-functional.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And
being scared. That's the other thing that's weird about it to me.
Yeah, scared of not having a mobile device.
But one thing that makes me believe it for some people is I've seen these posts online a lot where people are like, they live in the city and they're like, have you ever had to go into like the woods and see that there's like people's houses there? That thought terrifies me. And I can't
like
imagine
heaven.
That. I just can't imagine being scared of that. But also, like, I don't know, maybe I understand that it could be creepy to be, like, stuck out there and be, like, having to rely on these possible people that are creepy out in the middle of nowhere. But just like having your car and everything and driving out there terrifies you. That's stupid.
You're way more likely to be the victim of a crime in a city than you are living in the middle of nowhere.
That's a good point.
Because if you're in the middle of nowhere, they have to have a purpose to be there.
Well, is it a crime if Bigfoot committed it, or is it an act of nature?
I don't think it's a crime.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So research defines nomophobia as the fear of being detached from smartphone connectivity. While it is not yet considered a legitimate mental disorder like other specific phobias, such as fears of animal storms, heights, etc., nomophobia's conceptualization is founded on definitions from the Diagnostic Manual of Mental Disorders, which changes like every year.
And I just think it's ridiculous that any of these things are really classified as like a mental disorder. Like,
yeah.
My grandma is the most scared of spiders person that I know at all. And even then, it doesn't seem like it's something where it's like, oh, it impacts her entire life. You know? Like one time she had to stay at my house whenever she came and visited. I just went and slept at my little brother's or my little sister's room with them and let my grandma and my grandpa sleep at my house. And I had this wire that I don't know, remember what it was, and it had fallen off the roof. It was just kind of hanging, and it was windy, so there was like the noise of it hitting or scratching the wall. And my grandpa was already like, I'm black in this place in the middle of nowhere, and I just don't like being here. And he thought somebody was like coming into the house. But my grandma said she woke up thinking, because I had told her there are tarantulas in the mountain 8 miles away.
Yeah.
She was like, it's a tarantula scratching to be let in, and couldn't sleep. It was so, I couldn't believe that. But
I don't understand being scared of something to that point.
Yeah.
Flying is the thing I'm scared most of. Mm. I'm terrified of flying. I hate it.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, it's not the flying part. It's the fact that I feel like if I do it, then I'll have a sudden stop. The sudden stop, that's the scary part, you know.
What do you mean?
Like crashing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, sudden stop.
Not the flying part. But I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have to go somewhere across the country and the most convenient way for me to do it is to get on a plane, then I'm just going to get on the plane and fly.
Yeah.
I've flown in Cessnas just for fun to see what things are like.
In what?
In Cessnas, like the little planes.
Oh.
Like I've gone up in a little plane just to see something that I wanted to see, or I've gone in big planes. And that's the thing I'm most scared of. So I don't understand being like afraid of anything to the point where you can't function.
Yeah.
That's weird. It seems.
That's crazy to me that you're not more scared of anything else, because like that's pretty impressive, because I feel the same way. Like I'm scared of planes, but not. It's the same thing. Like, if I need to get on it, I'll just do it, and then it's over. But sometimes I have to use a bathroom in the middle of the air on the plane, and it scares me so bad, because I'm just thinking, it's absolutely irrational. It's less about the, like, getting sucked out of the toilet. It's more, I just imagine the whole little room that I'm in breaking off from the plane, and I'm falling. What would happen? And I seriously, oh my god, I have to pee. And run out of there. Like, just get out of that little hole.
I've never even considered that.
I'm sorry.
because if that happens, then everyone's going down with me,
exactly,
too.
Exactly. So. But I don't know why. I know why it is, actually. It's because you go in there, and it's, you don't have, like, the comforting look of the cab of the plane. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's louder in there, too.
And you hear all the noise.
Yeah, it's louder in there.
It sounds like it's about to rip off for some reason. Mm. So loud.
I'm just convinced that's going to happen in the whole plane.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why it doesn't bother me. Because I'm like, someone's going to do something stupid. We're all going to get sucked out, or we're going to crash, or something's going to happen. Like, that's my fear of planes.
I feel the same way, but like you said, I
just do it.
Do it. Like, the night before, I do start being like, I wake up and I'm like, oh my god, I have to fly in the air tomorrow. And I don't like that, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I'll still do it.
But I can't think of anything else that is like, oh, I can't, like, my grandma can't be in the room with a spider. She's like, spiders, walks out, someone else has to deal with it. Like, I don't like spiders, but I'll go up and kill it. It sucks so bad, but I will kill it if I have to. Or, like, the ones that aren't as scary, I will try to free them. But I'm not fearing a freaking tarantula in my house.
I mean, I don't like rattlesnakes,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not paralyzed with fear. Like, we had, I went outside one day out of the camper when we were in Arizona, and I walked out, and I turned around, and I had walked right past a rattlesnake, like, within striking distance. It was monsoon season, and it was cold because it had just rained, so the rattlesnake was cold, so it wasn't doing anything. And so I was like, oh, maybe I can get it out of here by, like, spraying it with water or throwing ice cubes at it. Like, I was trying everything, and it wouldn't leave.
Whoa.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not petrified of them to the point where I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to be sitting there in fear, unable to...
My sister is of snakes. I didn't think of that. She is so scared of snakes. Like, if I am like, hey, I'll look at this, I show her a picture, she is
that
disturbed.
Too.
Yeah, pictures. A picture of it.
A picture of it. Like, what is the picture going to do to you? I don't understand.
If she shows
me a picture of a plane, I'm not like, oh, no, a plane.
I understand a little bit because, like, I'm not going to say I even have arachnophobia. I don't like spiders because they're freaky. They're mm-hmm. gross. But if I see a picture of a spider, and especially for, like, too long, and I'm like, look, because sometimes I, like, do this thing where I look at something that's really scary and gross and creepy
mm-hmm.
just to get myself creeped out, and then I don't know how to explain it. I get this, like, feeling that is like, whoa, this, I gotta stop looking at this.
Yeah.
But it's not like, I think it affects my sister way more. It's
that's,
like,
that's the psychology behind, like, scary movies, why people like scary movies and amusement park rides, because we like to be scared. Life is so safe now.
Yeah.
Like, everything's so safe. You're not gonna get attacked by a bear, probably, you know? So we watch things and do things to get that adrenaline rush, so.
Like, did you ever see wind scorpions in Utah?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And tarantulas. I think spiders are kind of cool.
I think wind scorpions are... It's the same thing as a camel spider, but they call it wind scorpions in Utah for some reason. I think those are, like, an extra level above scariness than spiders, like regular spiders. And sometimes, like, I'm telling someone about those that have never lived anywhere else, and I'm like, well, I gotta show you. So every time that happens, I go on, like, a spree of looking at them on Google. It must be just what you're saying, like,
yeah.
People liking to be afraid, because I get so disturbed after that. And, okay, I can say that there actually was a time I was more afraid of something than made any sense, but it's because I kept having freaky encounters with them. It was scorpions in Texas. It was...
Oh, yeah.
It had just been raining for, like, 2 weeks, like, straight, and so much rain, and I lived in a classy trailer. And, like, the lady I worked with in my neighborhood, she was just like, I don't tell people, I don't call them, trailers, I call them mobile homes. It's like, okay, yeah,
it's the same
whatever.
Thing. Yeah.
But, yeah, she just, anyways, she's a whole other story. But,
words matter.
It was raining so much that I was just standing there talking to my boyfriend, and he's like, pulls me away from the wall, and there's a scorpion right behind my head. Then, like, a week into it, or maybe a couple days later, I had not stopped thinking about that scorpion encounter, and I was going to the bathroom, there's a mat in front of my feet, and I was like, there's no way, because that was, like, the first time I ever had a scorpion in my house, so I was like, there's no way this would happen, but what if I pick up this mat that's right by my feet, and there's a scorpion there, and there was. It wasn't moving, there was no reason for me to think that, and there was a scorpion under the mat,
that was weird.
Only number two. And then I kept seeing them, because that lady I worked with, I was cleaning houses with her, and I kept seeing them in this house that, like, was uninhabited, but the parents were dead, and the kids were taking care of it. I kept seeing, dead scorpions there, because they would spray and stuff, and I'd vacuum them up, and it was terrible, and I was having, like, nightmares about them. And if I had to go get under my bed for something, I was just like, I can't do it. I gotta get my boyfriend to do it, because what if there's a scorpion there? But that kind of makes a little sense, doesn't it?
Because there's a lot of scorpions.
And they can harm you.
Yeah.
And I encountered them so many times.
Right. That's preservation.
Yeah.
And that's not really a phobia. That's just being scared of something that's dangerous.
Right. And it went away. So it's not like the rest of my life I've just been, like, thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. We stopped in Texas, and Stu went to go hook up the water from the trailer,
mm-hmm.
and when he reached his hand down, there was a scorpion there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there's,
terrible.
I guess there's just a lot of scorpions in Texas.
Yeah.
In general.
There are.
Like, so I guess maybe not planes is the most scary thing. Rabies. Rabies is the most scary thing.
That's terrifying.
But I'm not, like, I still wouldn't be paralyzed. One time I was walking down in this lake in Massachusetts where I lived. I was walking around a lake, and I had my headphones on, and I looked up, and there was a raccoon, like, I don't know, 50 feet away from me, and it was all walking drunk, and I was like, oh, no, it has rabies, and, like, I walked backwards. Like, I can't imagine being scared of it, something like that, like, something dangerous, actually dangerous, and freezing, like, when you have some kind of phobia, not being able to function.
Yeah.
You get bit by a rabid raccoon.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem very smart, evolutionary-wise.
I bet some people would freeze, and some people would just run the second they saw it.
Yeah, just
in any direction. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, those are really creepy, because if you get that for too long, rabies, then you get this phobia of water, and that's so weird.
Yeah, hydrophobia. It's not even really a phobia. They called it hydrophobia because it's actually a physical, like, a physical reaction to water. It's not like they're scared of water.
But the videos look like they're, like, scared of water.
Yeah, so they're using, like, hydrophobic in the term, like, oil is hydrophobic. Like, it won't, you can't put them together. So a hydrophobic person with rabies, their body literally won't let them drink water.
Whoa.
It will shut their esophagus, and they can't drink water.
It's just so weird because you see these videos, and they, like, throw the cup. Like, it's like their body is like, no water. That's so
terrible. It's because rabies has developed to make you not drink water so that you drool.
Hmm.
So you're more infectious.
Ew. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a vector. It's a side effect of rabies making your body more contagious.
I'm like, this is the most terrifying.
Rabies is terrifying, yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's
terrible. Only
one person that's lived, like, after having rabies.
Whoa.
After contracting it and showing symptoms, there's only one person ever that's lived. They've done they use the Milwaukee protocol, which is like they put you in a coma. And like six people have gone through it, but five of them eventually died anyway. And only one person has lived, and she's like severely damaged afterwards.
Oh my goodness. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Really terrifying.
Yeah. So like, but those are dangerous things.
Yeah.
Being afraid of a dangerous thing is normal, but being afraid of not having a phone, it's not normal.
It's not normal.
It's not dangerous.
Yeah, it's not. I can understand a little bit of anxiety because, like, it's how we live our lives now. But being terrified.
Terrified. That's the word.
Crazy.
Terrified of not having a phone. So the research outlines that symptoms of nomophobia include many of those seen in other specific phobias, such as anxiety, shaking, sweating, agitation, and breathing difficulties.
Oh,
yeah. You can't breathe. You can't breathe because you lost your phone.
I can't breathe.
Yeah. It was also found that those with low self-esteem and extroversion may be more prone to the overuse of smartphones and therefore more likely to experience nomophobia. Maybe that's what it is. I'm introverted and I totally like myself. So,
Oh, extroverts are more
extroverts
likely?
With low self-esteem.
I don't know why I thought I said introverts with low self-esteem, but that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because they thrive on interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. According to one study which aims to review global statistics on the prevalence of the phobia, approximately 21% of the adult population suffer from severe nomophobia.
Oh, my God.
And around 71% of the population has moderate nomophobia.
That's just like, at this point, they're just not using the word correctly because it's like 21% of people actually being unable to breathe, sweating, and
shaking
because they don't have their phone.
I mean, it's research studies are always skewed because they take like a population of people, 100 people, and 21 of those people, and that's 21%.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But they could have just chosen terrible people.
Yeah, all extroverts or whatever.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. A migrant caravan en route to the U.S. has crossed into southern Mexico. Mike Garcia is a resident of Eagle Pass, Texas.
It's just overwhelming, and people need to understand that. This is not a problem that's just our problem because the folks aren't staying here. There's not enough resources for them. They're going other places. It's everybody's problem.
Thousands of migrants from Central and South America enter the Mexican state of Chiapas. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas are in Mexico. They're meeting with President López Obrador. Obrador, the focal point of discussions, the unprecedented migration, and border security challenges. House Republicans are currently probing allegations that President Biden may have advised his son Hunter not to cooperate with their impeachment inquiry. Representatives James Comer and Jim Jordan are requesting documents from the White House to find out whether the president instructed his son to disregard a congressional subpoena. John Schaefer, USA News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number that you can call. That's 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
And Lori.
And I want to tell you about ForkFest 2023. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest, Telegram, and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. ForkFest.party. And we were talking before the segment went to a break about people who actually get the sweats from their nomophobia. And what is that, Lori?
Nomophobia is the no mobile phone. Is that what they said it was? Mobile phone phobia.
It's a ridiculous name.
Yeah, silly. So they say dealing with nomophobia can be incredibly challenging, given the ubiquitous role smartphones play in modern life. The constant connectivity they provide has become integral to daily routines, making the mere thought of separation a source of intense anxiety for many. This phobia not only induces immediate emotional distress, but can also contribute to long-term psychological effects that could affect overall well-being. How to know if you have nomophobia?
Oh, do I have that? I honestly like get so annoyed with like every single, almost every single, what do you call it, mental disorder that people act like, oh, it's something you have or don't have. Okay, maybe there are things that are really extreme, like schizophrenia. I'm not even going to talk about that. But something like anxiety. Oh, you have anxiety and I don't have anxiety. Not sometimes you're anxious about things that would make somebody anxious and right. Sometimes you're not. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, do I have that?
Well, there's different, like, being anxious and having anxiety are different.
Yeah, like, but the thing about it is, like, those people have just convinced themselves that they are anxious because they've been anxious for too long about things that maybe mm-hmm. absolutely make no sense and they shouldn't be.
Correct.
And then they're just, they're like, I have anxiety. Well, it's not that I'm being ridiculous. It's that I have anxiety because a doctor told them that. And I understand that it's different to, like, be anxious about a certain thing than to
generalized
like, oh,
anxiety.
I'm anxious all day for nothing. But
yeah, but it's not for nothing. That's the thing.
Because
they
mean?
Have people who have like generalized anxiety disorder or whatever that mm-hmm. are anxious, like they have panic attacks and stuff like that out of nowhere, seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
They're anxious about something. They're just not thinking about it.
That's such a good point.
They're subconsciously anxious about something. There's something wrong in their life that they're not addressing, and so they're anxious.
That makes so much sense.
Or they're not taking care of their actual, like, physical health.
That's what
like,
I was thinking.
A lot of people who go out and drink a lot have anxiety, and they have panic attacks because the next day they wake up, and they're hungover, mm-hmm. and they have the shakes, and they don't feel good, and they're dehydrated. And so being dehydrated makes you your blood pressure rise, and, like, all these things contribute to feeling anxious, and then you feel even more anxious, and, like, it's a, you know, vicious circle of the anxiety and the not taking care of your mental and physical well-being.
I totally believe that because it's like just not eating certain foods has helped me break through in so many ways in the sector of taking care of just like my mental health and how I want to be in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not eating certain foods and not drinking alcohol, I really can tell the difference of how I feel now. That's why some people are like, oh, how could you deprive yourself of, like, fried foods? Don't think of, like, the taste. Think of, like,
what
feeling
it's doing
better
to you.
All the time.
Yeah, what it's doing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Before we had our first kid, I would like to go out and party. Like, we went, I dealt poker for a job at bars and stuff. And so I'd be out drinking and having a good time, eating whatever I wanted. And then I decided to have a baby. And I was like, okay, no more drinking. And I ate super duper healthy, like all whole foods and worked out all the time. And before that I had anxiety. So I was having like panic attacks. And after I did all that, it just went away.
Wow.
Like completely just went away. I had no more panic attacks, no more anxiety. I felt great.
And a lot of people like to say, oh, these people don't know what they're talking about. Actually, it's just that those people, the chemistry of their brain is permanently born incorrect. Well, actually, that was proven not to be true.
Yeah.
It was this study in England, and they went over all the other studies that people have used to make the claim that depression comes from a brain that is imbalanced with their chemicals, and they poked holes in all those and showed how that doesn't actually prove that at all, and there is no proof for that.
Right. Yeah, and if you're having, say you have serotonin uptake problems, you don't make enough serotonin, then find a hobby that makes you happy and gives you serotonin. Like, find something, whatever is wrong in your life, and address it instead of just taking whatever medication they're going to throw
and
at you.
Continuing your crappy life.
And then still feeling that way and needing to depend on that medication.
Yeah. It's really terrifying. I'm glad I never did any of that.
Yeah.
But I understand how people get trapped into it. Like, they just grew up with parents that are unquestioning people, and they're like, oh, my daughter is sad. Can you figure out why my 13-year-old daughter is sad? And the doctor says, well, she needs to be on Zoloft, and then she is.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Oh, my 6-year-old won't sit still. Will you give him something for ADHD? Like, they're 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won't sit still.
That's so sad.
That's what they do, is
and
not sit still.
The thing is, when you let a doctor label your kids like that, like, I'm not a parent. I'm not telling any parents how to live, but I've been a third grader. And when I was in third grade, it was the first year I was in school at all. I was homeschooled until then. And there was a girl in my class who needed, quote, a helper, and I was the smartest kid, so they chose me to be her helper. And so I would sit next to her and be like, so this is why this makes sense, blah, 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 and explain things to her. And she is still my friend to this day, and she's naming her baby after me. And the thing about it was, since she, quote, had ADHD and had to, like, leave class during certain times to take her medicine and stuff like that, she just, oh, wait, she had ADD, but she would be like, I just always felt like I was stupid before I met you because no one just wanted to explain things to me, you know, stuff like that. Like, she just thought she's stupid because the doctor, almost said the dentist, but the doctor told her she has ADHD.
Well, that's a problem with public schools, too, is they're taking one way of learning everything and shoving it at kids and saying, if you don't learn it this way, there's something wrong with you.
And, you know,
and not you're an individual.
I even feel bad for saying I was the smartest kid because, like, I grew up and even in, like, high school, I was like, I'm not actually, like, smarter than these kids. I'm just good at getting a good grade.
Yeah.
And so many people think that makes you smarter than other people.
Yeah.
It's kind of
stupid. I feel like everybody, barring, you know, actual disabilities, has potential.
Right.
You're born with it. And it's what you do with it and how it's nurtured is how you're going to end up.
I agree.
And being in public school and having that one solution fed to you and told there's something wrong with you if you don't get it that way and not, hey, let's figure out the way you can understand it.
Right.
The way that it makes sense for you because you're an individual person with a dynamic brain and personality and not everyone's going to take in all of this the same way. Like if you ask five people how to solve a math problem in their mind, they'll all tell you a different process to get there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's so stupid. I talk about this on the air every time we talk about public school sucks so bad. Well, it's so stupid that I was never, like, the one that was really, really good at math. I just was good enough to pass or, like, get good grades in the class but not be like, oh, a math whiz.
Mm-hmm.
But so many boys, mostly, were, like, math whizzes in my classes, and it was so frustrating for them to have to do it the exact way the teacher told you when they had a way that worked better for them and it still got the answer.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
I got terrible grades in school. Like, probably not as a little kid, but as I got older, I got terrible grades. Even though I understood it all, I knew everything they were already teaching me. All I did was read. I was a big nerd and, like, sat in the library for fun and read books, like reference books and stuff.
Well,
and
you didn't know a lot of facts.
And so I got terrible grades because I... Literally, they would tell me things like, don't read ahead. Like, you want me to slow myself down to match everybody else.
That happened to
me,
too.
I can't do it. It's boring. Like, I'm not going to learn anything that way. And so I just wouldn't do the work. I'd just read the book. Like, if they'd assign us a book, I'd read the whole book. And then I would do whatever I want for the rest of the time that everyone else is reading the book.
That's something I kind of forgot happened. But I always think of this one class I had in sixth grade as, like, that was the first time where I stopped wanting to be known as, like, the smart kid. Like, in third grade, it was like, oh, I'm the smart one, and it's fun, and nobody's mean to you about it. But by sixth grade, I was like, okay, I'm not going to raise my hand and stuff, because the teacher would always be like, yes, Bonnie, we know that you already read the book.
Right.
Because it was history, and it was so interesting to me, and she was actually kind of bullying me.
Yeah, they treat you like there's something wrong with you because you like to learn.
Yeah.
And that because you know things, and that you can do... You have a skill at something, like you're reading too fast.
Yeah, or...
How dare you?
She would be like, does anyone else want to raise their hand? Because, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's actually totally mean.
Sorry, I'm excelling.
Yeah. The same thing happened to my friend who did the show one time with us, with me and Nikki. His name's Tim. He's on the show one time, and he actually got taken out of school. He did public school all the way to sixth grade. Then the same kind of thing happened to him, where the teacher... I don't remember exactly, but she actually was bullying him for being actually smart or, like, asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been a Burger King worker the year before and then became a sixth grade teacher. And his parents took him out and he did the rest of his years in homeschooling. So.
It's because you're not there to learn how to think.
Yep.
You're there to learn what to think. And it's what they tell you at the speed they tell you at at the productivity they tell you to do it at. Everyone must fit into the cookie cutter box because that's how you make workers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just obey the rules and do it the way we tell you.
And one thing about it is I always felt like the culture of the teachers was like, they were all very similar. The teachers and the people who worked in the school who were adults, they were all very similar. And they were nothing like how my parents would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that like you would get punished and beat into the shape they wanted you to be because they wanted you to be the way that they are. It's so vague, but what I'm trying to say is, like, then later I learned that, like, almost every single teacher is a liberal, believes in government and stuff like that, and it makes a lot of sense that mm-hmm. you're going to be, oh, you're not doing well because you're just not, like, the type of person they are.
Well, I mean, the teachers who don't fit in the clique of teachers are probably mm-hmm. not going to make it at that school.
Right.
So it makes sense that they're all the same.
Yep.
I'm sure that, you know, in a highly Republican area, a lot of the teachers are Republican with Republican values, and in Democratic areas, and, you know.
Yeah, but I would say, like, it leans liberal because, like, they believe in the government being like, oh, I got into teaching because only the government can make it to where children in my community can read. So even in, like, Texas, where I went to high school for the first 3.5 years, or, wait, 3 years, whatever, even in Texas, it was like, I got this liberal pro-government vibe. But also, you know, right-wingers are also pro-government. They're just pro-government in a different way.
In a different way, yeah.
So maybe they're not all liberals. But it was just this, like, this way of being that I can't really put my finger on right now that, like, my parents weren't really that way. Like, I don't want to go, I don't ever want, okay. What I'm trying to say is I think it's messed up that I was getting kind of like, you know, you have to dress this certain way and act this certain way. Things that have nothing to do with learning is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's like a teacher's preference of how they want the next generation to grow up.
Yeah.
And it's like different than even your own parents.
Yeah. They want you. They're in power trips.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to obey them. Like I never did homework. That was another reason I got bad grades is mm-hmm. because that's my time.
Yeah.
If you can't teach me while I'm here, then that's your fault, not mine.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do it when I'm out, not here. And
that's totally true. They have 8 hours a day.
They have 8 hours. Maybe don't jam all the subjects into the same day if you feel like you can't do it well enough in that time.
Yep. Lots of people do that with, or not people, lots of schools do that now where it's like blocks, but I never got any classes like that. It was always like 30 minutes each of a subject.
I still pass my classes.
45, I don't know.
Just with terrible grades.
Yeah.
Like without doing the homework because I could understand what you're teaching me. I don't need to do this at home.
Yep.
So, but yeah, they just want you to do what they tell you. I got in trouble once for not standing up for the pledge.
Oh my goodness.
I was in like 7th or 8th grade, and my teacher sent me to the principal because I refused to stand for the pledge.
Wow.
And I got down there and ended up having, like, a debate with the principal. And so he sent me back to class and told her that she couldn't make me stand for the pledge.
Wow.
End.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That would have been, like, a total, like, rights violation if they tried to make you.
But she hated me. She hated me from that moment on. Like,
so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, a child doesn't have the same patriotic feelings as me. I'm going to treat them like crap.
A child cannot be a patriot. They don't have the understanding to grasp what any of that means.
Right. Like, I was literally in love with America when I was in high school. It was, like, a totally different person. But I hadn't been, like, I hadn't learned the reality of things yet. Like, I hadn't been actually abused by cops and stuff yet, and that's what snowballed to where today I'm on the air saying stuff like, well, there should just not be a public school system at all, and stuff like that. But I remember there were other kids that would sit and not do it, and I would be, like, absolutely confused. Like, why wouldn't you do this? But, like, my dad was in the military, so it just always felt like it was, like, we do this because people died to keep us safe.
Yeah,
so,
no.
I always find it really interesting when people from a young age already got that it's not what they say it was. Because, like, Chris Wade, who does the show sometimes, he said the same thing. He said when he was, like, 4 years old, he was like, why are we doing this for the flag?
Yeah.
It's, like, that's
bizarre.
It is bizarre when I think about it now.
Everybody's standing up together and chanting at a piece of fabric on the wall. Why? Why are we doing this? Same thing with church. Like, I never understood.
Yeah.
Why are we all here listening to this guy read? Just read the book yourself.
Yeah.
If you want to read it.
I mean, I never thought things like that as a kid. I was just like, this is normal because I was, like, in church all the time. But when I think back at it now, it's weird. So I really try not to just, like, judge people really hard for just being status and stuff because, like, a couple incidents in my life could have gone differently and I would probably still be that person.
I wonder if Chris Wade was a latchkey kid with inattentive parents, because I think that's why I was so already disillusioned by everything is mm-hmm. because I kind of raised myself. Like, I was fed and sheltered and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody helped me with homework or schoolwork or stuff yeah. like that. So I just had to do it myself. And so I'd read and think and just ended up realizing that everything's lies.
That does make a lot of sense because it's like anytime I had a question for my mom, I'd be like, well, so wait, if Jesus says this, then why this? She had an apologist type answer. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, well, that's because of this. So it would at least hold me over for a while. Like,
yeah.
I never sat there and was like, wait, this doesn't make any sense, because I would ask my mom.
And then you trusted her.
And then I'd get the answer.
Right. You had somebody telling you, somebody that you trusted telling you what to think. And so you believed it.
Yep.
So, but nobody was telling me what to think.
Yep.
So I just made up my own thoughts.
Yeah. Chris doesn't seem very close to his parents, so I could totally see that being that's a good hypothesis.
Yeah. Oh, so here's the, how to know if you have nomophobia. Here's the list.
Okay.
You can self-report on this. Individuals rate each statement on a scale from strongly agree to strongly disagree. I would feel uncomfortable without constant access to information through my smartphone. I would be annoyed if I could not look information up on my smartphone when I wanted to do so.
Okay, but yes, I would be annoyed.
Annoyed.
That doesn't mean I would have a phobia.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Being unable to get the news on my smartphone would make me nervous. I don't even read
no.
the news.
No, I only read the news for this show.
Yeah, I only read what I want to read.
Mm-hmm. Like, I seem to get news that's like, I didn't even see that anywhere, so...
I'm just a weird internet creepy person.
Well, I'm just like, I get a lot of it from Ian because he reads the news in jail and sends it to me. And then I have like four or five things that aren't too bad that I read from. Like Al Jazeera's not too bad on American things, at least.
Yeah. Four is, I would be annoyed if I could not use my smartphone and or its capabilities when I wanted to do so. They keep saying annoyed. Which doesn't, if I'm annoyed with something, I'm not shaking and sweating and,
yes,
and exactly. out of breath, like, oh, I'm so annoyed, I can't breathe.
Yeah, I get annoyed every single day.
Yeah, me too, all the time. Like, the drawer handle just pulled my pocket.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm annoyed, and now I can't breathe.
My old bosses from the Mighty Moose, Martin Keen, they always laugh because they say I say the word annoyed all the time, or annoying. Oh, that's so annoying.
Yep.
What can I do?
Things are annoying.
Phobia.
Being a human is kind of annoying.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. Running out of battery in my smartphone would scare me. So I have a friend who actually, like, anytime I send him a screenshot of something, he's always like, your phone is scaring me. Please charge your phone, because it's always on, like, 2% battery or 1% battery.
I have people to say that to me, too. It's actually the trolls in the chat.
Yeah. If I were to run out of credits or hit my monthly data limit, I would panic. What is that even? Credits or data limits?
I don't know exactly what a credit would be, but I would think that it's like if you have a prepaid thing and you only paid for a certain amount of texts or a certain amount of data.
Can you still do that? You can still buy a number of texts for the month?
I haven't met anyone that has that, but I do have a prepaid card on my phone. It just immediately goes or automatically goes through. And so I don't have to, like, go buy a card. But I'm pretty sure you can do it that way.
Unless I'm coming, like, here or somewhere where I need my phone, I don't take it with me when I go places. Like, if I go to the store, I don't take my phone. I don't need it. I'm shopping. I don't need to do anything on my phone while I'm shopping.
I'm so connected to my phone because it's the only way for Ian to call me.
Yeah.
But
well, that's true.
It's just, like, some people can be in a situation where they're way more close or connected to it. But I've at least gotten myself to where I'm not, like... on it 24/7 for social media, which is just the absolute worst thing you can do, I feel.
Yeah.
And talking about anxiety, if you have anxiety and you're on Twitter every single day, don't tell me you have something wrong with your brain.
Right, no. It's because you're sitting here looking at curated content all day of people only showing you the best parts of their life, and then you're like, oh, my life must be terrible because I'm not... constantly on vacations in Bali, and I don't get flowers every day, and
or the
you
worst
know,
parts
like,
of
or whatever
the world,
or the worst parts of the world. Never the worst parts of their life, though.
Yeah,
it's always the best parts of their life and the worst parts of the world. So
that's
be afraid of everything, and you're not good enough.
Yeah, and that's kind of how Instagram is. Like, I just got totally uninterested in it at like age 24. I was just like, I don't care if people I went to high school with think I have nice blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. I don't care. So why am I posting these pictures? Like, I think what really stopped me from ever wanting to use Instagram to, like, just post pictures of myself is having a boyfriend that I really love, because it's like, I will admit that, like, one reason for having an Instagram would be, like, not that I thought somebody would find me on Instagram and then I would fall in love with them, but if there was somebody in my life and then they kind of found interest in me, then they would look at my Instagram and I have to have nice pictures of myself on there. And after I have a, well, now husband that I love, I just don't understand. I don't have any reason for it because I don't care what people I went to high school with think about my clothes or whatever.
Yeah, I am so uninterested in the people that I used to know that I, so I didn't have a Facebook for a while because I was like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Everybody was just fighting on Facebook.
Right, it's terrible. That's the worst one, I swear.
So I started a new Facebook for, like, rabbit sales and meeting rabbit people and stuff. And I just used a fake name because I literally didn't want anybody that I used to know to look me up and try to sell me leggings or whatever. Yeah. You know? Like, I don't care. We're not friends. Don't.
And a lot of the time, unless it's somebody like I reference my friend from third grade. I keep in contact with her on purpose. But if somebody were to contact me who also was in our third grade class and I don't care about anymore, that happens sometimes. It's, like, so awkward.
Yeah.
It's like, I moved every, like, 3 years, so, like, I really don't remember anything about you. And if unless you keep, purposely keep, like, communication with somebody.
Yeah, if we were, like, close friends or something. That's one thing. But most of the time, it's people that you just went to school with, and they're like, oh, I know that person's name. I know nothing about them, but I'm going to friend request them because I don't know.
And it's like
collecting friends.
Stuff. Right, right. They want a certain number of friends.
Which is weird.
And, like, that was definitely something that I went through when I was, like, 11 and first made a MySpace and would be like, I need to have more friends on my list than, like, my cousin.
No, I removed Tom. Way back in the day, like, when I first got my MySpace, I was like, I don't know that guy.
I can't remember if I removed Tom.
Yeah, I had, like, you know, just people that I knew. And
that's such a funny thing. If somebody doesn't know, if somebody listening doesn't know what we're talking about, the creator of MySpace had it to where when you would make a MySpace, you were automatically friends with him on his personal account.
He was your first friend.
Yes. And it would be like, I'm your first friend. My name is Tom. Oh, my goodness. It's Free Talk Live, and there's more coming up. 603-283-6160 is the number to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.